Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN on a Thursday morning. Glad to be with you here this morning. Coming up, we're going to hear later on in the hour some candidate interviews focused primarily on the 22nd District State Senate race. Tom Hawk and Craig Bowser challenging each other in that race. But we start things off this hour with the Manhattan Regional Airport discussion and Director Jesse Romo joining us on the phone. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Brandon.
It is certainly a pleasure to have you on once again. There's news about the airport this week at the Manhattan City Commission meeting. A big discussion there on parking fees and what that may look like here going forward, as well as the airport master plan.
That's right. We had a pretty good discussion there for a couple hours with City Commission, so we covered a lot of ground. Happy to start wherever you'd like to, but I can get started with the master plan if that's okay.
Yep, that's fine.
So the master plan started a couple years back. You know, we're planning for a future reconstruction of our runway, and we have two runways, 321 and 1331, and 321 is our primary runway, and it's the only commercially rated runway that we have. The other runway is much smaller, not as long, not as wide, not as deep to sustain the weight. So we have a lot of restrictions on usage of that. So our trick will be to reconstruct our primary runway without or just minimizing the disruption to air service. There's no way to eliminate it, but we're trying our best to mitigate the disruption. And so when we met with the FAA a couple years back and really wanted to get started on studying alternatives for how can we approach the runway, they decided that, you know, by nature of the work, it was really more planning than design work. And so we undertook a planning grant from them and did a master plan update. And so as such, you know, the master plan contains a lot of information across the board when you start looking at design aircraft and you know, the number of aircraft you get in, the frequency, the types, and that drives the design standards that are set by the FAA, which drives what kind of dimensions you have, you know, for your runway and what you're eligible for federal funding. And so we had some, you know, pretty lively discussions over the last year and a half with the FAA over our dimensions. Right now we have 7,000 by 150 feet, and because of the aircraft type we get in frequency, they said, well, we qualify for 100 foot of width, not 150. And so, you know, we wanted to maintain 150 feet because the difference is the larger aircraft we get for charter. You know, we get 737 activity quite a bit with K-State Athletic charters or related to K-State Athletics, whether it could be the visiting team as well. And military traffic. And so military charters, quite a few aircraft. And we'll see, you know, well over 200 of those types of planes a year. Unfortunately, by the FAA standards, you have to have 500 of those in order to qualify for 150 feet. So with 100 feet, you know, of eligibility, the FAA said you can keep the extra 50 feet, but you got to pay for it yourself. And so that created some challenges that we've had to continue to work through on, you know, how we're going to address that during design. But planning also took a look at different types of phasing that we could do. And, you know, we're going to get more into the detail on the methodology of how we do design during our design project, which is underway right now. And we'll have an official kickoff meeting next month with our airport advisory board, inviting our tenants to come out. We really do want their feedback and opinion on a lot of things because the choices we make today are going to impact the operations of tomorrow. So it's going to be an ongoing effort for the next couple of years. We're not looking to construct on that runway until 2023, but it's never too early to start planning, and all these things take a lot of coordination, a lot of effort, you know, even with the airline. And just this week, we had, you know, a teleconference with the airline, actually multiple representatives from not just American, but SkyWest, Envoy, and, you know, you have regional carriers that operate under American, and depending on their fleet, their own standards of operation, and they have different safety parameters that they have to take into consideration. So a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things to coordinate, a lot of people involved. And so it is a very, you know, lengthy process to go through. But we're happy to close out one of our first steps, which is that master plan. So So that final draft of the master plan update was presented to the City Commission. We're now going to do the administrative part on closing out that grant and that project. And like I said, we've already accepted the grant from the FAA to start design, and that is underway right now. And we'll get more into the nitty-gritty of, you know, all the different runway redesign options.
Well, obviously, there's I know the commissioner's obviously worried about the expense with this. I think it was reported it could cost the city up to over $24 million. It's a lot of money, and I'm sure that's spread out over several different years, but do you anticipate you'll get the support here from the city on that?
You know, so I'm glad you asked that. I'll take a minute to kind of clarify what that is. So during the master plan, the FAA asks you to look at the next 20 years of your airport. And so over the 20-year period, they want you to identify what are the future needs. You know, and you kind of get into dream planning, right? So it is not just what you think is realistic. It's not just what you think you can accomplish today. It is, you know, if money wasn't a factor, if environmental issues weren't a factor, if a lot of things weren't a factor, what would you really want out of your airport? You know, how big do you want that runway? How many things do you want to see, you know, get developed? And it's always a trick to do do planning, you know, for a 20-year period and to try and estimate what you're actually going to need and what those costs are going to be. And so one of the things that we did was we put a list together of the CIP, the capital improvement projects, for the short term and long term. And so when you start looking at over 20 years, just like on pavement needs, you know, we need to redo taxiway, we'll need to redo ramps. Concrete, you know, and asphalt is not going to come cheap, and especially at the size of pavement that we have. You know, and then you can list out a lot of different things. Well, what happens to your snow removal equipment? Well, those things, you know, those large pieces of equipment aren't cheap. ARFF trucks, also, you know, each one of those things can cost about $1 million a piece. And so over a 20-year period, it can look pretty large. You know, that number feels like it's pretty big, and it grows quite quickly. Now, here's the thing with that, though. There's no guarantee that we're going to do each one of these projects. And the FAA, though, if you ever come to them in the future and ask them for a project, they're going to ask, is it in the master plan? If it's not, you have to go through additional justification to ask to say, why do you want to do this project when you didn't even master plan for it? So it's to the benefit of the community to actually have all these projects listed out now and be part of that federal system in the planning process. So it doesn't mean that, you know, we're guaranteed to do them. It's one of those things that you got to just identify and helps you have your eligibility and justifications for the future should you decide to do them. But there are some things in there that will need to be done, will need to be replaced. A lot of those are eligible for federal funds that come in at 90% grant. So, you know, once you start bringing out in piecemeal, it seems a lot more manageable.
Got it. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you explaining that, because I don't think a lot of folks realize that here. And obviously, it costs a lot of money to run an airport, to maintain an airport. The runway itself, that is a something that will have to be done at some point, right?
Yeah. You know, we've gotten about 40 years out of that runway, and, you know, it was built in different segments, so it's hard to give it a single age. But when you design for the runway, by FAA standards, you have to design for a 20-year useful life. And so, you know, if you take care of it, you have a good preventative maintenance program, you're going to get a good 4 years out of that. And that's what we've gotten. So we're at the point where, you know, in its useful life, that we can see it degrade a little bit quicker than it has been in the last few years. And, you know, we got a lot more cracks showing up, a lot more pop-ups and things that we're doing and maintaining. So it's still in decent condition to use. It's not something that we want to push off too long. And so in 3 years from now, you know, it's going to be a good timing for us to reconstruct. And that project itself is, you know, going to be over $30 million. And the majority of it is all going to be eligible for FAA funding at 90%.
All right. We have a caller on the line who has a question or a comment, so we'll get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hi. Yes, good morning. I had a quick question about the runway. It's 150 feet now. How did it? How long has it been like that, and how did it get to be 150 feet? Did you have federal help back then when it was, or how's it, how'd that work? And I'll list off there. Thanks.
That's a great question. We do have 150 feet now. You know, I don't remember off the top of my head when we got to 150. It's been, I think, at least a couple decades. But FAA design standards change all the time. And so the last time the runway was done, there was different design standards to justify your dimensions. And so in today's age, you know, they have that standard that you have to have 500 annual operations of a Category 3 aircraft weighing 150,000 pounds or more, which, like I said, generally speaking, that's about a 737 size aircraft. But, you know, that design standard is relatively new and, you know, the last few years, so it wouldn't have applied to the past. So, yeah, it's hard to make that comparison of, you know, what happened then, how were we able to justify it versus why can't we do it now?
All right. I don't have any other callers right now, but if you have a question, give us a call, 537-1350. We'll take a break, come back more with Jesse Romo from the Manhattan Regional Airport after this on K-Man.